the story tonight of little Christian, little pilgrim and hopeful, coming, seeing there, coming out of Vanity Fair and meeting buy-ins, and Demas was a perfect opening introduction to our message tonight. And I didn't plan it that way, but the Lord did. And I thank Him for that. I don't know about you, but I think every day don't we just marvel at how the Lord helps us so much? He really does. He gives so much grace, and He just, in His providence, He just puts things together in a most perfect and beautiful way. And sometimes at the time, it doesn't seem perfect and beautiful. But after a period of time of some sort, you look back and it's like, Lord, thank You for that. And God is so good. He is so good. Well, amen. Can you believe it's already December the 8th? Whew. December's flying by already, isn't it? And Christmas is coming up soon. Let me mention this tonight, just while I'm thinking about it. Forgive me, I have a tendency to be a little random, but y'all used to that by now. Christmas service on Wednesday, December 25th. I think on the calendar we may have it as having a service. Or no, Christmas Eve. Excuse me, Christmas Eve. But there's no Christmas Eve service. Okay. I think that's Tuesday night. It'd be Tuesday night. Okay. I just wanted to make that correction on the calendar. You can make your correction. Originally I had planned to do that, but there's some things that I really need to make sure that I talk to my wife about before I do. No, with all seriousness, I knew better. That's a week I'm going to be gone on Christmas vacation, and some years it works out that I am here during Christmas, but that this year I'm not. And so we will be out of town that week. But so we will have our Sunday night service. I believe, what is that, the 21st? 22nd? Yeah, so we'll have regular services that Sunday, Sunday school, morning and evening, but we'll not have service on Tuesday night. So if we'll make sure we have that in the bulletin as well, just to make that clear. But yes, it is. December is flying by, and so many things going on that we are rejoicing all along the way God is helping us and encouraging us. You can pray for our Good News Club. That's been just a real blessing. Those of you that were not here on Wednesday night, I gave a testimony that we saw two more children come to Christ at Good News Club on Wednesday. Amen. What an encouragement. What a blessing to see them come forward. We're praying for them. And you know, I hope that never gets old to us. You know, it is. It's such a miraculous event. And I don't believe there's anything more miraculous than a human soul getting born again. No greater miracle. And so we need to celebrate that, rejoice in it, and look for God doing it more and more. And I'm praying that 2025. I'm praying that 2024 will finish strong with seeing people come to Christ. But I'm praying that 2025 will want to be one of the greatest years in the history of this church of pointing people to Christ and seeing people trust to Him as Savior. And it's a great thing to be in the service of the King. Romans chapter 16. Paul, speaking of being random... Paul goes through and lists the names of those that have been a blessing, and it's just kind of consistent there, the different ones he's met along his missionary journeys, and then all of a sudden, he takes a turn. But it's almost like Paul said, as I'm thanking God for these ones and saluting and greeting these ones, it's like Paul takes a moment and says, oh, and by the way, let me give you some final warnings. And that's where we find our place there in verse number 17. So we talked about the holy kiss last Sunday night, and then we talked about the churches of Christ greeting them. And then verse 17 is where we pick up tonight. Now I beseech you, Paul says. I'm begging you here. He uses that terminology several times in the book of Romans. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. With the Lord's help tonight, I want to just speak on the subject of marking those that cause division. Marking those that cause division. Would you pray with me? Father, I rejoice tonight in your presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for my dear brothers and sisters here, God. I'm so humbled that you let me to pastor these precious people and let me be here at Crooked Creek with my family. And Lord, for us to walk in this Christian life together, journeying together as we walk through the Word of God and as we walk through life together, as we praise you together, I just want to say, Lord, thank you. And tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to grow in our discernment and our wisdom concerning evil, not just around us, Lord, but just also the evil that likes to rise up in our own hearts, that we would be mindful and take inventory and make sure that we are being people who are people of peace and that honor you and provoke righteousness. So, Lord, help us tonight to hear from you. Oh, God, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Christian, little Christian in our story, who did you notice that he picked up on something that didn't smell right with buy-ins, and even a little bit there with hopeful. As ambitious and seemingly positive hopeful seemed, but especially with buy-ins, and then especially with Demas. It's just like, something's not right here. I don't like what's going on. And so Christian, little Christian, was discerning there, and hopeful maybe not as much. And I believe what Paul is doing here, he's writing to a group of Christian believers, a group of Christians who were strong believers, and he was just saying, I want to warn you. Now, the reason I believe he's talking to strong believers, even like a group here tonight on a Sunday night, is, and I'll show you that, is because he even recognizes their obedience in verse 19. So this is not a rebuke. This is a warning. Verse 19 says, for your obedience, he's talking to the believers there in the church, it's come abroad. You got a testimony, church, that you're walking with the Lord and honoring God. And he says, I'm glad about that. He's basically saying, I'm joyful and praising the Lord on your behalf. But notice what he says. But yet, I want you to be wise unto that which is good and simple. That word carries the idea of being innocent concerning evil. And so tonight I read these verses and I want our hearts just to be warned, because as we see God working in our lives, we understand there's an enemy who's wanting to take us down. He hates us. He hates Jesus Christ. He hates Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And he'll do anything he can to cause division. And again, Paul was not writing this because there was a problem of division in the church there in Rome. It doesn't appear that way. He's just saying, hey, y'all are living for God. And I just want to thank you for that. That brings joy to my heart. But just please, let me remind you, avoid certain ones that would cause or purposely cause division. Let's look at the words here a little closer. Would you notice there, he says, I'm begging you, it's serious here. These are brethren, believers. Mark them. That Greek word is skopos, where we would get our English word scope. He says, put your crosshairs on them. Mark them, which do what? What's the next two words? Cause divisions. These are people that want to cause harm to the church. They are contrary to what the church is teaching. They're contrary to what the church is preaching. They're contrary to what the church is seeking to do by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they're not obvious. And that's why you got to be so careful. It's because they're not obvious. And because notice what it says here. They come in to cause these divisions and offenses contrary. Again, he's saying contrary against the teachings, the doctrine which you have been learning of me. And he says, avoid them. Now, I know that's strong language in today's age. I mean, people are so offended so easily, right? And some churches, mark them, avoid them. What? Wait a minute. Is that Christian language? It's Bible language, isn't it? Which is important that you understand the context. It's talking about how we should, number one, note and mark those. And Paul says it in some other books. Note the troublemakers, those that perhaps seem okay on the surface, but behind the scenes, they're bad-mouthing the local church, the authorities of the local church, whether it's the pastor or the teachers or the deacons or just other church members. They're subtle about it. And what happens is Paul says, you gotta pick up on that very quickly and mark them, because notice what happens here. He says, he describes the type of people they are. It says in verse 18, for they that are such, of that testimony that are seeking to cause division, it says they're not really serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own what? That means their own desires, their own sinful passions there. They do it by good words and fair speeches. That carries the idea there of flattery. They speak with smooth words and these are people that have a different motive in their heart. Now, I hope to God there's no one like that here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. But I want you, mature believers, brothers and sisters here tonight, I want you to be prepared and to know how to respond if you do come in contact with someone that is seeking to cause division. We don't hate people. Never do we hate. But the Bible says we can mark people. Now, I do believe that in the context, to be consistent with Scripture, I believe it is understood and implied that this is someone that you've talked to, you've tried to talk to, perhaps because of a situation that seems like they're causing division in the church or in a situation, you've talked to them. There comes a point where the church, and even that's where you understand church discipline, somebody that's causing those issues, eventually the church even has to discipline in certain regards. And that's always the last resort. It's always the last step to take because you're constantly going for unity. Unity's the goal. Unity's the goal. Doctrine unifies. Doctrine also divides. Because we understand that there are some that will seek to have a better opinion, a better approach, and they start doing it for their own advantage. Maybe it's a popularity contest in some regards. Maybe it's just a matter of pride. Maybe whatever the case may be, the devil has his servants. And so God's people, and notice the type of people they prey upon. It tells us that they go, they use those good words. They know how to talk. They know how to communicate. They're really smooth. They're fair speeches. It says it deceives the hearts of the simple. Now that word simple there, again, it means innocent. And it also means unexpecting. It's like somebody that just really possibly could just get caught off guard. It's like they didn't see it coming. It's like, whoa, what now? What did you say? What are you talking about doing? You know, it's almost like, wow. And it's that those smooth words can be deceiving, and you got to be alert. You got to be vigilant because the Bible tells us to. And I think again, Paul was not rebuking anybody here. He was warning them. And so what we see here is that it was people going after their own ways. Now, as he told them in verse 19, he was thankful for how they were walking with the Lord. But there are several ways that this can hurt a church. They were condemned here because they were going contrary to what the church was propagating and practicing and teaching. They had received and learned. It was the doctrine that the church had agreed upon. And it was to bring unity. And by the way, thank God that even what we believe about the Bible and what we practice here, what we believe, even our constitution and our statement of faith, our covenant, those things that is to bring unity, we understand that we can have unity with diversity of opinion. But what happens is what Satan tempts, I believe, even good people with to say, you know what, your way is better and you need to make your inroads and tempted even with the wrong motivation. Because the Bible says that those type of people here, their bellies are their God. Their own sinful desires. There's something not right there. And sometimes I mention they are believers, but then sometimes get this. This is, you've heard them too. I've heard them. There's where lost people get into the church. And it's lost people that's doing this. They're not even saved. They're one of Satan's tools. And so God's people have to be aware of that because that will cause division. And believers need to stay away from them. You need to avoid them. And I'm just going to exhort you to do that. If you hear or sense that somebody's causing division, they're contrary to what we are teaching here and preaching, you mark them. Stay away from them. Maybe they'll get the point. The Proverbs, I don't know what Proverbs it is, but basically one of the ways you scare away a gossip is with an angry look. I can't remember what verse it is, but there's a proverb that says a way to scare away a gossip is with an angry look. You know, like Chloe's scowl I was talking about this morning. Yeah. And you say, well, that's not Christian love. Yes, it is, because you are protecting the Church of Jesus Christ. You are called to be someone who guards unity, someone who propagates unity and truth and honoring the Lord, even when we may disagree with things. We don't go around bad-mouthing one another. We all have different personalities, and there's going to be a diversity of opinions when it comes to certain things. But we do not allow Satan a foothold in those things to where it starts causing problems. He did it. He's talked about it in 2 Thessalonians 2 in chapter 3, verse 14. He says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. There he goes. Note him. Call him out. And have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Again, this is describing a troublemaker, someone that's purposely trying to get in and turn people against each other. And they say one thing here and say another thing there. And boy, that is very serious. Satan is one who sows discord among the brethren. So we have to have a holy passion to guard our unity, church. And I'm looking at a group of people tonight. I believe in my heart. You might have me fooled. If you are, you're good actors. But I happen to believe you're in the category of verse 19. I hear of your faith. I see your faith. I see your walk with God. Of course, we're all imperfect people. But I see folks with a good spirit here in this congregation. We got to guard that. And when you pick up on somebody that's trying to harm that unity, you be courageous and you mark them, you note them, go to them and talk to them. If there's no change, then you need to take somebody else with them and take another. And finally, and I've heard of this, and this is where it gets really bad, again, the church discipline, the name has to be given to the church congregation. Where it says, dear brothers and sisters, we love this brother or sister, but they are continually causing division. There's a problem of either teaching, false doctrine, error, or just gossip, whatever it may be, and they have to be called out. Paul did. And so as a church, we understand the importance of that. But I also believe that the Bible talks about not only noting those that are troublemakers, but note the ones that are peacemakers. Would you hold your place there and look at the book of Philippians? Just flip over there to the right. You're going to go past Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and then look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. I almost said chapter 17. I'm pretty sure it only has four chapters. All right. Philippians chapter 3. Notice what Paul says here. About also marking certain people. But this is, praise God, this is in a good context. This isn't for troublemakers. It's for peacemakers. He said, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Basically, what he's saying here, mark those that are seeking to honor the Lord. Make note of them. That sister or brother that you know has a healthy fear of God. They're faithful to the Lord. They're faithful to their wife. They're faithful to their children. They're faithful to the local church. They're faithful to the call of God. Hey, it's time for us to mark them. And say, thank God for that brother. Thank God for that sister. And recognize them as they follow the Lord. That's the important part. Paul said, followers together of me. And he said that in also, I believe, there in Corinthians, as I follow the Lord. So in closing, let me give you a few things here to keep in mind. If you want to take notes, they're very short notes, and it's only 3 points. I'm going to go through very quickly. Number one. Don't gossip to others. It's that simple. What is gossip? Well, gossip is slander, which is the nature of Satan. Gossip is talking about people behind their back and cutting them down. And even things that you don't know to be exactly true. It's kind of like, well, I heard this and I heard that. Just avoid that. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. That means just, hey, what you say, do, we studied in Sunday school, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're talking to somebody, let's make sure you're doing it in the name of Jesus. Okay? When you and I are talking, we must guard and make sure it's true. And if it, even if it is true, is this the right context to be sharing it with the person? Is it a proper, is it appropriate context? Because that'll help prevent gossip and division. Number two, how about this? Don't be critical of others. Don't be critical of others. Why do I say that? Well, you notice I said, I didn't say don't criticize. I mean, we all need constructive criticism, right? We all stand to be corrected pretty much every day of our lives. Am I right there? Okay, so we are people who can be truly helped in the sense of healthy advice and suggestions. And even when it comes to a need to warn or rebuke, we can do that in God's way. But the critical spirit is the person that, again, is very negative about other people. And that just causes a sense of division. Because if I hear you say something bad about somebody else, if I hear you talking bad about somebody else and I didn't know that, it automatically, whether you believe this or not, I'm just telling you the truth, it automatically puts a negative, evil thought in my mind about them. That's wrong. We got to protect people from that. You may have something in your mind, and it might even be true, but it may not need to be said. So I say it around somebody, they automatically, and they may jump to another conclusion or another conclusion. They may think of something. By the time this person has been painted very wrongly in somebody else's mind because I had a negative remark about them. You got to be guarded. You see what Paul's saying here, church? Just be warned. I want you to think about this statement, whether you believe it or not. That's between you and the Lord. But this statement has helped be a guide for me. It says this: never criticize another person except to his or her own face and with the intent to help. It says this: criticism, listen up, boys. I want y'all to listen up. Criticism is never constructive unless it is expressed to the offender, and then only if it is done in the right spirit. Think about that. And you got a critical remark? Well, think about this. The first person that probably needs to hear about it is talking to the Lord about it is that person. And do it in a spirit of love. You're not trying to cut and slander. You're just like, hey, just want to talk to you about something, and maybe I hope it'll be a help to you. Just some things I thought about. So it's that. And then thirdly, and this last point, again, that can help prevent division, is don't tempt others. I'm not going to go through that again because we studied that through Romans chapter 14, didn't we? For Christian liberty, Christian grace. We talked about those things. But one of the things at the forefront of my mind is that I'd want to guard with everything I have not to be a stumbling block to a brother or sister in Christ. Because that'll cause division. Something that you may have liberty in, and you kind of flaunt that liberty. It's like, hey, I can do it. I'm saved. This grace of God. I got the peace of God. I prayed about it. It's, well, I don't care. Well, when you carry that kind of attitude, it's going to cause division. It's going to harm the church. And that's not the way the Lord wants to approach that. He wants us to be people who promote unity, even if it means me denying something that I have liberty about. I want to make sure that I'm not a stumbling block. Because that's what the verse says. If you look back there in Romans 16, it just really says it's a that those divisions and those offenses, they're traps. And let me close with this verse right here, because I believe we end on a great note. Paul says, as he warned them and he reminded them of this blessing, verse 20, he says, and when you do that, when you mark those people, when you put the scope on them and avoid them, and when you avoid being that person, he says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under, what is the next word? Your feet. Your feet. That's the members of the church. That's you and me. We're the body of Christ. We're the feet of Jesus. We're His church. He says, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. What does that mean? It means the source of all. Get it. Never miss it. Please take it home tonight. Hide it in your heart. Let's be reminded of it. The source of all division when it comes to this type of division is Satan. The church has got to be faithful in being clear of it. Even strong believers have to guard their own hearts. We have to. We got to be faithful and not be agents of Satan, but be the agents of the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit and be people of peace, because it says the God of peace will bruise Satan under our feet when we do that. When we promote unity, when we stick together, when we work through even diversity, even when we work through offenses, because we do offend each other. We're human. Everybody here, you got your home, husband, wife, children. Do y'all ever offend each other? Does anybody ever say anything? Woo! Yes, sir. That's right. Let's be honest. I like that honesty. It's true. Folks, it's no different for a local church. But we guard our hearts and we don't hold it over each other. We don't hold it against each other. We extend mercy and grace and forgiveness. And praise God, I just want to shout right now. When we do that, we bruise the head of Satan. Get him. Hey, I did dance. I danced in church. Miss Debbie got it. Oh, mercy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Just thank you for your Spirit working in our lives. Keep us sweetly unified, Lord Jesus. We're your body. I pray that you'd help us to mark anybody that would come on this campus with the purpose of dividing. I know they can be slick and be smooth. Please protect us, Lord. Help us to be a lighthouse and just a thriving church and revival and preaching the gospel, winning souls, praying together, crying together, struggling together. God, help us. We want to be that church that's filled with you and your presence. I pray Satan would be bruised by us being people of peace, people who are walking in truth and courage, even like little Christian did, and he called out Demas. Oh, God, help us. We pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're just going to have an invitation. Let's just be open to the Lord right now. Can we all just spend some time praying and committing our hearts to the Lord to be unifiers, people of peace, that we unify around doctrine, around the truth of God? As the instruments begin to play, let's respond.